Heavenly Father, we thank you that according to your word that you are perfecting that which concerns each of your children. Now, please open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, to hear what you say by your Spirit through your word in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. God's word assures us that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. Brother John Crane says, "It is through much trial and tribulations that we are made pure, holy, and clean in the sight of the Lord by the working of His Spirit in our hearts to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ." Unquote. That would be Romans 8:29. We might recall in the days of Daniel, when he wrote in the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel, we read at the very end or toward the end, beginning in verse 32, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries." Sounds like the beast or the Antichrist is going to corrupt those who do wickedly against the covenant or do not obey the word of God, the enemy of souls, because they are now turned over by God to strong delusion for not loving His truth, 2 Thessalonians 2, that the enemy of all souls working through the Antichrist beast system in these final days is going to corrupt the wicked by flatteries. The wicked being defined as those who do not love, they do not choose to love the truth of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, notice, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders." This is the same one being spoken about by Daniel, beginning in verse 32 of Daniel 11. So in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." He can only deceive those who are not in Christ truly. They're perishing. And here's why. "Because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." God is love, and He gave us the truth. Jesus is the truth. And the testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ is lovingly given by the body of Christ. And there will be those who believe it and are born again, and there will be those who reject it. Mark 16:16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Also, Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, "And the Spirit," the Holy Spirit, "and the bride," that is the body of Christ, "say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come." In other words, pass on the message of the gospel to invite people to repent and receive Christ. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." That's Revelation 22:17. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved," that is, and go to heaven, not hell. Verse 11, "And for this cause God himself, taking it personally that they did not receive the love of his truth, having sent his only begotten Son to come and die, be buried, and raised again for their justification, and they rejected it. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In other words, as Jesus said in John 3, verse 19 through 21, and this is the condemnation. Here's the reason for it. That light is come into the world. His name is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And men loved darkness rather than light. They refused to repent because they loved their darkness, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved or exposed. They love darkness. They don't want their darkness exposed. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Two people in the world, two kinds. Those that shun the light, refuse to repent and come to the light and be exposed and forgiven. And then there are those who doeth truth and they come to the light, that their deeds, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So the whole of the chaos that is happening and is going to continue to increase on the earth is for the purpose of bringing people out of darkness into the glorious light of Jesus Christ, who is our salvation. So we began reading here a passage in Daniel 11:32, beginning in verse 32 of the book of Daniel, which speaks largely prophetically connecting with the book of Revelation of the final days, as we look now for the soon return of the King of Heaven, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, in whom we rejoice. We have not seen him, and yet we rejoice in him and in his soon coming. 1 Peter speaks of that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, that's the theme we're looking at in part here in Scripture, that the trial of your faith, thank God that you've got faith to be tried, saving faith. That's why it's being tried, because it's real, it's authentic. Being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, heated, so that the impurities can rise to the top and be skimmed away from your life. In fact, that's what's going on in the life of every true, authentic disciple of Jesus, that God is causing your own wrongdoing, your own sin, and just the fact that you're one of his, you're bearing fruit, and therefore he's purging you, John 15, so that you bring forth much fruit. And in light of that, beloved of God, let me encourage you to realize that the reason why I'm being purged is not because I'm not his, but because I am his, and he, as I'm blessed to abide in him, is producing fruit in and through my life, and therefore he's going to continue to purge me more and allow the things around me to bring forth a heat upon the gold of my faith and relationship with him, so that the impurities that still remain are going to be brought to the top. That's what happens in the picture we get in Scripture, throughout the Scriptures, where God uses jewelers who heat gold so that the impurities can rise to the top and they can be skimmed away, so that the product that remains is pure. And that's a process throughout our lives. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:23 that reproofs of instruction are the way of life. They just keep on coming because God wants to do a bigger and a better work in us. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And those that are walking with the Lord are being purified. Notice verse 7, 1 Peter 1, that the trial of your faith will be tried. It's on trial in this world, and you're being tested to see who you're going to love more and most, and supremely, either Jesus Christ or yourself.
Who we love the most is what it all boils down to.
Jesus commanded, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:37-40. So the trial of your faith, which is much more precious than of gold that perisheth. There's another meaning there. The gold or the trinkets of the earth have no eternal value. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried, that is your faith, how much you really love the Lord and how authentic you are or not. though it be tried with fire. How many people know we have fiery trials, the scripture says, in this life? We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14:22. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Notice what comes to mind is what Job said when he was being tested by the Lord, allowed to be attacked by Satan. In chapter 13, verse 15 of Job, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So when we are bewildered, when we are being tried and tested, and it seems relentless, it's all for a test to prove or to demonstrate or to see who we're going to love the most. And are we in the middle of our trials and things that are happening, no matter the reason that they came into our lives, are we reaching up to heaven with our hands open and our hearts and our faces lifted up to glory where our God reigns and Jesus who sits at the right hand of the Father? Are we saying with Job, Lord, though you slay me, yet will I trust you? I'm going to love you no matter what. Are we saying that? Are we learning to overtly demonstrate and choose to love God by saying with the psalmist, Lord, my soul follows hard after thee, and one thing have I desired of thee, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold his beauty. Psalm 27. How about Psalm 51, David's psalm of repentance, create in me a clean heart. David was going through a time of repentance after his sins of adultery and murder, etc., and deceit. He tried to cover it up, etc. He was crying out to God, Lord, you desire truth in the inward parts. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. And then Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Are you asking God to remove any wicked way that still remains in you and thanking him through these trials? That's part of the answer to the prayer of the saints to be purified. Again, Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they and only they shall see God. So in the midst of this fiery trial, which is to try us, verse 8, 1 Peter 1, whom having not seen, that's Christ, we have not seen him in our flesh, or with our eyes, whom having not seen, ye love. And remember, we're going to see him, according to Job 19:25, where this same blessed child of God, the beloved Job, who had cried out in 13:15, we have on record of the book of Job, though he slay me. Now, Job had lost his whole family and all of his cattle. He had been completely wiped out in one day, and he chose to love the Lord through it all, even when his wife tempted him to rebel against God. Job 1. Job said later, he said, though he slay me, I love God so much that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And in the end of Job, we read of the reciprocation, if you will, the restoring of all that Job had lost and twice more. He had a new wife and children and everything else, all of his riches doubled. That's a picture of reigning in eternal glory with the Lord and being rewarded as Jesus commanded us to lay up treasure in heaven. So Job 19:25, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. So we're going to see him when he comes and reign with him for eternity. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, that is those, verse 7, who are walking faithfully, they're worshiping as they walk through fire and being purified. Verse 9, receiving the end of your faith. They're going to receive the end of their faith just like Job did. That restoration of all of Job's blessings at the end of the book of Job represents our eternal reigning with Christ and all of the benefits that come thereby. Psalm 103:2, forget not all of his benefits. We worship him for who he is, by the way, and there are massive dividends included as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things are going to be added unto us. We're going to be, as it says here in verse 9 of 1 Peter, verse 1, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. There's final salvation right there. So back to Daniel 11:32, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he, the Antichrist, the beast, the system, deceive or corrupt by flatteries. You notice how quick it is. I read the story today. Many of you have probably seen it, where a lady who took the COVID death vax, if you don't know that's why it was instituted, you're definitely walking in darkness and need to repent. She took the death vax and died immediately, nearly upon taking it, and there her dead body lay, and not one person got out of line to take the same death vax. That's how much darkness we have going on around us, and it's only because people have rebelled. They refuse the light of Christ. They refuse to come to the light because they love darkness rather than light, and they don't want to repent. They're unrepentant, and so they are trapped in that darkness and always will be now and for eternity unless they choose to repent and turn to Christ in repentance and faith. Verse 32, Daniel 11, and such as do wickedly against the covenant, that would be the new covenant, which words are recorded from Matthew to Revelation, and such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. You see, it's the people that do know their God who are standing up, as we read a moment ago in Revelation 22, verse 17. And notice the Spirit and the bride. Are you part of the bride of Christ? Well, we're getting ready to find out right here. They say, come. Wait, who's saying come? And let him that heareth say come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. So who is it that's fulfilling this great commission that Jesus gave us? It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in the bride of Christ. Are you part of the bride of Christ? If you're not testifying of God's work in you, saving you by the blood of Jesus Christ and calling other people to come to him in repentance and faith, I don't believe you're in the body of Christ at all. Jesus said that those who are ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of them. He said that throughout the Gospels, Luke 12, verse 8 and 9. If you're ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. Notice the very words of Christ, Luke chapter 12, verse 8 and 9, and I say unto you, Jesus says, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of God also confess before the angels of God. How many people want Jesus confessing and cheering you on in glory in the presence of the angels of God in heaven? Wow. And then verse 9, but he that denieth me, anybody not confessing him is denying him, but he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. If you don't have enough of God in you to testify of the goodness of God in Christ, you don't have the saving faith it's going to take to be with him. You're not enduring to the end. You're not abiding in Christ. When you abide in him, he's going to purge you. He's going to allow things to happen in your life like it did in the days of Job. Notice Job chapter 23, verses 10 through 12, but he knoweth the way that I take, Job writes, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. See, Job was obedient. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Job 23:10 through 12. Notice how Job, a man who was being tried by God, clung to the Lord, and specifically, he clung to the words of the Lord and counted them even more important than his necessary physical food to sustain his own body. And we see here that it's the Word of God, which is the substance of heaven, to power us through all of these trials and tribulations that we face on the earth as we look for the soon return of Jesus Christ, treading down the narrow way which
leads to eternal glory with Him. The Word of God is our spiritual food, and anybody who is not in the Word every day devouring it and meditating upon it can be sure that they will not be with Christ. Jesus said, "Man shall not live or have life with God by bread alone or natural things, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Matthew 4, verse 4. Now, in our walk with the Lord, as He continues to purify our lives and cause us to bear more and more fruit, John 15, it seems that we can behold,
as it's been observed, I believe it, God doesn't waste anything, even your own sin, as was the case throughout the patriarchs, and with Peter, who denied Jesus, and then repented and was restored, and then there he is leading 8,000 people to Jesus. Something happens when we repent, and that's the refreshing of the Lord, as we read about in Acts 3:19, where Peter himself says, "Repent ye therefore," like he had just done, after he denied Jesus three times. Aren't you glad that God is so merciful? But His mercy only endures to those who fear Him, Psalm 103:11. Those that fear Him obey Him without fail. Notice, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out," completely erased, "when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That's what happens when we repent. We are then going to experience times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Amen. So we're reading in Daniel 11:32, "Such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he," the Antichrist, "corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many." They're going to minister powerfully. They're going to do great exploits. "Yet they shall fall by the sword." Some are going to be killed, beheaded, etc. Book of Revelation. "And by flame," how are we going to be persecuted unto death? "Some shall fall by the sword, and by flame, and by captivity, and by spoil many days." Now, "they shall fall," they shall be hoping or helped with a little help, "but many shall cleave to them with flatteries." There are those among the body of Christ who claim to praise God for the brothers and sisters who are obedient to the Lord, but they still don't know the Lord. "And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them," be tested, "and to purge," and to make them white, to cleanse their garment of all blemish of sin, "even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed." So we see what's going on here, and this would be a verse you want to pore over prayerfully, but we see that there are those who are going to be tried. They're people of understanding. It would seem that perhaps these are people who had backslidden after being saved, and so the Lord has to bring them through a purifying season of repentance before the finality of things, because He is definitely not willing that any should perish. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. Okay, keep in mind, saints, that the trial of our faith in the final days, as we're reading about here in the end of Daniel 11, is for the salvation of our souls. Now, let me explain so anyone would misunderstand me. No, we are not earning our own salvation, and yet the Lord, who is holy, 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 is working in our lives to purify us so that we can be presented to Him along with the other saints that make up the bride of Christ, the people, the remnant body of Christ that Jesus is coming back for. Remember, saints, He's going to present it to Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. This is the church that Jesus gave Himself for, that He might sanctify and cleanse it. How? With the washing of water by the Word. Taking in and obeying the Word of God is how it all comes about. It's how we are purified. It's how we are washed of any and all defilements, and how we are going to be presented this glorious church, not having any spot, wrinkle, or blemish of sin, but we're going to be presented to Him as holy and without blemish. Ephesians 5:25-27.
And does this not remind us of Hebrews 12, verse 5 through 11, where the Lord is telling us about how He chastens every one of His children, whom He loveth, He chasteneth, in that if we do not allow Him to chasten us, we become bastards or without a father. And that would mean eliminated from His eternal kingdom. Those of understanding, it says here in Daniel 11, 32 through 35, speaking of what I believe could be those who are needing to return to the Lord, Hosea 14, 1, and draw nigh to the Lord and abide intimate with Him in a vital union relationship that bears good fruit, crucified with Christ. John 15, and this is all so that they can definitely be ready and prepare to meet Christ. Notice Daniel 11:35, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try or test them and to purge and to make them white even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. So notice we're reading here in Daniel 11:35 about how the Lord is going to cause some to fall and be tested so that they can be purged and made white, so that they're ready to meet the Lord and not left out of His eternal kingdom and sent to eternal damnation. And of this amazing verse, Daniel 11:35, one source notes the following. He says, this verse begins by stating that, quote, some of them of understanding shall fall, unquote. This is a reference to the wise and learned individuals in Israel who will suffer and be persecuted. This suffering is meant, quote, to try them and to purge and to make them white, unquote. He continues, the use of the word try suggests that the suffering is a test, a way to prove the true character and faith of the people. The word purge has connotations of purification, removing impurities and defilements or unwanted elements. And he finishes, he says, this suffering is a means of refining the people, making them stronger and more steadfast in their faith. The phrase, quote, to make them white, unquote, suggests that through this process of suffering and purification, the people will be made pure, clean, and righteous in the eyes of God. And they're going to be tested and hurled into fiery trials so that they can be purged and made white. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot or blemish, the blemish of sin, but a church of people that is holy and without blemish. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 through 27. Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify. Are you sanctified? And cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Only those who are in the word, obeying the word, and walking with and in the word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, prove to be the children of God. That's how you're cleansed. That He might present it, that's the body, the people of God, the body of Christ, to Himself. And what does that body look like? A glorious church, a glorious people, not having spot, no spot of sin. The only reason why you'd have sin is that you're unrepentant and you haven't confessed that sin or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Could He have made it any clearer that, as the rest of Scripture teaches, anybody who dies in sin is going to hell? Doesn't matter what your life was in Christ previously. Ezekiel 33:12-13. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Moses wrote this. He said, be sure your sin will find you out. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is still death. So we finish in Daniel 11, verse 35, which says, some of them of understanding shall fall to try them and to purge them and to make them white. See, so all of these calamities that are coming upon us, we view them as terror-inducing, absolute chaos, unrest, and lack of peace. And yet God may be working in them, and He sure is if you're crying out to Him like David. My heart
heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. Psalm 57:7. Lord, no matter what, I'm going to seek the Lord in His strength. I'm going to seek His face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:11. No matter what happens, as Job cried out, Lord, no matter what you allow to happen in my life, I'm going to trust and love you and worship you all the way through it all. As we come in for a landing, saints, Daniel 12, verse 10, the next chapter, foretells of this hour which we are now in. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. Wow. Those that are tried and are faithful to God and worship Him through anything that happens in their life comes upon them. They're going to be purified and made white. But the wicked shall do wickedly. They're going to resist the light. They're going to remain in darkness. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Notice here in the book of Revelation 19, beginning of verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, to the Lord, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. That's the true remnant body of Christ. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's those that are tried and purified and made white. Throughout the whole of Scripture, we read that. And we've been seeing that in every passage that we've read in this message. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Amen. May God bless us with hearts of flesh and take away the stony parts of our hearts that were caused by our own sin and rebellion and any harsh thing that we have endured. Father, we do pray that You'd reach to the innermost fibers of our heart, our spirit, Lord. And like Ezekiel, Lord, that You would remove the stony places, the hard, parched places of our hearts. You would multiply Your grace, Your divine enablement, and influence on our hearts, and give us hearts of flesh, O God. Let the words of our mouth, Lord, like David prayed, and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcast on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.